So we are holding on Kuf Mem Vav Amud Beis by the Mishnah, so near the bottom of the Amud. Mishnah says, we're still talking about various miscellaneous halachas of Shabbos. So far, pretty much all the ones in the perek that we've been talking about have had to do with dinim having to do with food. This one also begins that way and then goes on to other things. So the Mishnah says, Noisnin tavshel losecha bur, you're allowed on Shabbos to put a pot of cooked food into a pit in the ground, meaning an empty pit, there's no water in it, b'shvil shehei shomer, so it stays fresh. In other words, you have it's during the summertime. You don't want it to spoil. So you put it in a pit where a pit is cooler than the surrounding air. We'll see in the Gemara what the chiddush of it is. I mean, what malacha of Shabbos could there possibly be in that, so we'll see. Also, you're allowed to take a container full of good water and put it into and put it into a pool or whatever of bad water, of dirty water or whatever, in order that they should cool off. So in other words, you have a bottle or whatever of good water. You want it to stay cold, or you want it to get colder, as the case may be. So what you do is you have over there, let's say, a pool or some other larger body of water where the water in there is not good to drink. It's not clean water, but you're putting this bottle of clean water, a sealed bottle of clean water inside it in order that it should cool off in the larger body of water. Again, we'll see in the Gemara what the chiddush of that is. Also you're allowed to put cold water in the sunlight in order that it should warm up. Now, we learned much earlier in the Masechta, of course, you have the various dinim of Bishul about cooking on Shabbos. In particular, we said there to cook something with what's called toldos ha'ur would be also, meaning where you have something toldos ha'chama would be also midrabanan. So you have to cook with fire is also daraisa, of course. To cook with toldos ha'chama, with something that was heated up by the sun. For example, we had an example over there, let's say, where you have a cloth that was heated up in the sun, and then you're going to crack an egg onto that cloth where the cloth is hot, and then the egg will get cooked because of that. So we said that's an issur d'rabbanan. But here we're talking about cooking, or warming up, rather, the bottle of water directly in the sunlight. That would be mutter. Because the whole reason we said in the Gemara over there, why told us or usur, would be because people might confuse, and why toldos ha'chama rather, are also is because people might confuse them with toldos ha'ur. If you're going to be allowed to, for example, fry an egg on a cloth that was heated up by the sun, you might come to do the same thing with a cloth that was heated, or something else that was heated up on the oven or the stove or whatever, and of course that would be an issur d'oraisa, whereas nobody's going to confuse the sun itself with a regular fire, and therefore you're allowed. Which is what the Mishnah is saying over here. So, yeah. Continues the Mishnah. Mishan noshu kela baderach b'mayim. A person was walking on the road, and their clothes got wet with water. So Rashi explains noshu means shenoflu b'mayim b'shabbos. They fell into water on Shabbos. So we're not just talking about, in other words, let's say it rained on him. We're talking about even, let's say, somebody dumped a bucket of water on him, let's say, or he accidentally, he fell into a pool or whatever as he's going along, whatever. So mahalach behen ve'enechoshesh, he's allowed to continue walking with his wet clothes on Shabbos, and we're not concerned. We're not concerned that he's going to wring them out. We're also not concerned that people are going to think that he washed his clothes on Shabbos. He gia l'chotzer, because you have no choice. He has to wear something outdoors, covered abrius and all that. So therefore he's allowed to continue wearing his wet clothes. He gia l'chotzer achitzoy. Now, once he comes to the outermost chotzer of the city, meaning the first chotzer that he can get to in the city, where it's a safe place that he can leave his clothes until after Shabbos. Shotchan b'chama. He has to take off his wet clothes at that point, because at that point, let him borrow some clothes from the balabas over there and change into that, so he can spread out his clothes to dry out over there in the sun. Avaloy k'neged ha'am, but not in front of people. So first of all, it means davka in front of the sun. It means again, he can't spread it near an oven or something, because then again, you have the problem of mavashal, that if the clothes are close enough to the oven that the water in them could reach Yad Siladisbo, then he's going to be over on the malacha of cooking on Shabbos. Again, like we said in the Reisha, if he is putting it out in the sun, then you don't have that issue no matter how hot the clothes get. We're saying Avaloy Kenegana because of the problem of Maris Ayin, that people are going to think that he washed his clothes on Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara starts off Pshita. the first din of the Mishnah that was saying that you're allowed to put a that you're allowed to put a pot of food into a pit on Shabbos in order to keep it cold, pshita, it's obvious. What malacha would you think you're doing over there? The answer is ma'udetamen nigzer mishum ashvuyi gumus. You would think maybe we'd make a gzera because if you allow him to do that, he might come smooth out holes in the ground at the bottom of the pit. What happens? You have this pit over there. The bottom of it is not necessarily the bottom of it is not necessarily is not necessarily so smooth. So he might be apt to smooth it out in order to make a nice smooth surface for the pot. And maybe therefore it should be also kamash balan. Therefore the Mishnah tells us that that's not a problem. Then the Mishnah had continued with Amayim Ayofim Baroyim. Again, we said you're allowed to take a bottle of good quality water of clean water and immerse it into a pool or whatever of not clean water in order to keep it cold. So again, the question is pshita. Obviously, you're allowed to do that. What's the chiddush? The answer is sefer tzrichalei. You're right. That particular din in the Mishnah about the bottle of cold water and the pool of bad water is not really a chiddush. It's not really necessary. It's only meant as an introduction to the next part of the Mishnah, ve'esatzon in mechama, that you're also allowed, vice versa, to take the bottle of cold water and put it out in the sun. So the first part is teaching us about how you might want to keep the cold water cold or colder by putting it into a pool of water. And you're right, there's no chiddush in that. But then but another thing you might want to do with a bottle of cold water is to warm it up, and that's what the Mishnah is telling you with the next din. Okay, the question is honami pshita, nu, and that din is also obvious. The answer is ma'udetamen nigzo dumi osilat muni beremetz. Maybe we would make a gzera that he shouldn't be allowed to put it in the sunlight to warm up because he might come to do hatmona. He might come to bury or to cover the bottle of water with remets, with ashes that still have in them live coals, which we learned all the way back in the third and fourth perek, that the reason behind the restrictions the Chachamim made in Hatmana on Shabbos is at least partially because of that, because you may come to do Hatmana in remets, and therefore the Chachamim asked you to do any kind of putting something burying food in material that will preserve the heat because you might come to use remets. So you would think the same thing applies over here. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah tells us that it's not the case. Nobody's going to confuse the sunlight with remets, and therefore it's allowed. Okay. Ellie, we're holding on Kufmem Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, Misha Noshru Chola, we said if a person's clothes fell into water on Shabbos, by the way, Rashi himself in some other places mentions, and Marsha refers to it over here also, that another way that you could punctuate this word, Nun Shin Resh Vav, is Nishru, which means that they were soaked. Either way, the point is that, the point is though, his clothes are wet, so we said he's allowed to wear his clothes until he reaches a chotzer achitzon, until he reaches some place where he's able to change. Then we said he can spread out his wet clothes to dry, aval loy kenegad ha'om, but we said not in front of people. So the Gemara says on this, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, kol mokum sh'osru chachamim b'nei maris ayin, any place where the chachamim say something is osur because of maris ayin, because either that people are going to think that this thing is mutter, in this case they might think you're allowed to wash your clothes on Shabbos, or because people may suspect that he did the wrong thing, people are going to suspect that he did wash his clothes on Shabbos knowing that it's osur. So such things, Rabbi Yehuda says, the rule is afilu b'chadrei chadorim aser. You're not even allowed to do it. You're not even allowed to do it in a chamber inside a chamber. So not even in an inner room. So now our Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to do it kneged ha'am in front of the people, implying that you're allowed to do it in private. So the Gemara says tanan. We learn in the Mishnah that doesn't seem to work. Our Mishnah says shoytchan v'cham avaloi kneged ha'am. You're allowed to spread out your wet clothes to dry, but not in front of people. So then, in other words, you're allowed to do it, you're just not allowed to do it where other people are going to see. So what is Rabbi Yehuda telling us that you wouldn't be allowed to do that? The answer is tanoi. It's actually machlokas tanoim. Netanya, we learn in a braisa, shoytchan b'chama avaloi k'neged ha'am. The braisa says you are allowed to spread out your wet clothes, but not in front of other people. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Oistrin, where's Rabbi Lozer? And Rabbi Shimon say it's osur. So our Mishnah would be according to the other chachamim. The Braisa informs us that Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon disagree with that, and Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav's statement is in accordance with that. Most of the poskim paskin like Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, so therefore we say that when it comes to things daraisa, maris ayin is indeed also even b'chadrei chadarim. You have an example of that. For example, is in the halachas of basa b'chalav, where if you're eating, for example, you're eating milk together, you're eating meat together, for example, with almond milk or something, you have to put a container on the table or something, or you have to put some of the almonds themselves on the table to show that it's from that and it's not milk. So that would apply even b'chadrei chadarim. On the other hand, the poskim say when it comes to things d'rabbanan, you don't necessarily need to do that. Things d'rabbanan, maybe you're allowed to do things that would be a problem where the only problem is that people are going to think you were over on it. Isur d'rabbanan, those you might be able to do b'chadrei chadarim. Okay. Omer Avona. So now a new din related to this matter of what a person does with his clothes. So in the Mishnah, we're saying the case where the person's clothes became wet. Where we're saying that he can wear them while they're wet, but then eventually he spreads them out. And we said that according to the Mishnah, he's allowed to spread them out in private, whereas according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, not. So, Omer Rav Huna, Hamenar Talise b'Shabbos Chayev Chatas. If a person shakes out his talis on Shabbos, he would be Chayev Chatas, because that's cleaning it. Now, what is he shaking it out of? So, Rashi explains that we're talking about there's dust on it, and he's Chayev Chatas because he's cleaning it. He's doing libun. A number of Rishonim disagree with that, and for example, Tosfos over here brings what Rabbeinu Hananel says. Which is that what we're talking about is there's dew on it, so the surface of it is wet, and therefore by shaking off the dew, you're doing malabin. In other words, those who are showing him say that what Rashi is talking about, shaking off dust, would not be considered malabin. They say malabin involves there has to be water, or maybe according to some who are showing him some other kind of liquid involved, but not just when there's dry dust over there. Because makapel would mean folding. That's something else entirely. So according to Rashi, we're talking about there's dust on it, and yes, he's shaking it and getting the dust off it. According to Rabbeinu Hananel and Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim, we're talking about that there's dew on it, and he's shaking it off to get the dew off. Then you have the Rambam has a third understanding of it, which is sometimes in particular, the Rambam talks about that. The Gemara itself is going to say in a minute that we're talking about a dark colored talus, black as the Rambam phrases it. And the point would be, and I'm explaining, sometimes you have a new talus like that, sometimes has this little yellowish stuff on it, like that's left over from the making of it or whatever, and that kind of thing makes it look unattractive, and therefore you shake it off, so maybe it's not malabin, but it's gemar malacha, it's makav patish, you're now making it more usable than it was before. Well, it just doesn't look as nice. The point is, it's a new, the Rambam explains, as the Gemara is going to go on to say over here, the Gemara is going to mention over here, it's a new black talus, and so the Rambam understands, therefore, the idea is that now, like, it doesn't look nice with that stuff on it, and therefore, taking it off would be a malacha. The Ravid, in fact, disagrees and says, like many of the other Rishonim that we're talking about, that there's dew on it. And then again, that dew, towel. Yeah. So you shake it out to get that off. So then it's malabin, because you're removing the water that's on and in it. And then again, according to Rashi, we're talking about that there's dust on it. Yeah, it's dampness. New, so you're shaking it out to get the dampness out. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'loya moran ela b'chadzi. Now that applies only if the talus is new. Avabatiki leslanba. If it's
old, by that logic, we should do it for anything else. Just a table or you can never remove any liquid from any surface. Why just a talus?
Because it depends what kind of surface you're talking about. If you're talking about a cloth
surface.
What's
the difference?
Hold on. So if you're talking about a cloth surface, you're right. You can't remove any liquid from the surface of it. And in fact, we learned in the previous perek, we talked about where you have a pillow, that a cloth pillow that on Shabbos has lishleshes on it, which we said was some kind of filth, saliva, or we said the Aruch said it was chicken waste or whatever, where we said you're not allowed to remove it with water. You're only allowed to wipe it off with a rag. Only if it was leather, we said then you can pour water on it because leather doesn't absorb water so much. So by the same token, nowadays, if you have a plastic tablecloth or whatever, yes, you'd be allowed to pour water on it. But you're right. As a matter of fact, any kind of cloth, you're not allowed to pour water on it on Shabbos or to get the water out, which is what we're dealing with over here. The same way as we said it. Now, we said in the Mishnah, you're allowed to wear wet clothes and we're not concerned that you're going to squeeze them out because, look, the man has to wear something. Covered abrius is an important thing. But we said as soon as he gets to the outer, as soon as he gets into the city, he has to take them off and put them in a safe place and then change into other clothes. Because at that point, we're concerned he may squeeze them out. And squeezing them out from the water in them would, in fact, be a tolda of malabin. And therefore, and therefore it would be also.
If we had the example for the pillow, why do we need the talus? We know that already.
Because there we were talking about just wiping it off. Here we're talking about a different din where you have dust and you're shaking it. You're not shaking off the pillow over there. The case was over there that you're wiping off the pillow, and we're saying you can wipe it off with a dry rag, but not with water. Here we're talking about shaking it out. So it's a different kind of thing. All right, let's go on. So anyway, so only if it's new, avabatiki leslanba, but if it's old, then there's no problem, because when it's old, then that person doesn't care so much about the dust or the whatever on it. Doesn't make it look that bad. Valayamaran elab uchmi. Also, this is only talking about if they're dark or black color, because then again, the according to Rashi, we're talking about the dust shows up very strongly against it. According to the other Rishonim, also whatever it is, the dew or the yellowish stuff or whatever shows up very strongly. Avabachivri vesunki leslanba, but if they're white or red, then it's not a problem. And even with all of that, for who to kapid alayhu, this is only if the person is usually makbid on such a thing, and he won't wear it unless he first shakes it out. But if, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he only does this sometimes, then he would be allowed to. If he's not makbid on a regular basis to shake it out of the stuff, then it would be mutter. Even so, that's the point. If during the week, sometimes I'll put it on without shaking it out of the dust or the dew or the yellowish stuff or whatever, then he's allowed to do that on Shabbos. So in fact, the Gemara gives an example. Ula ikla pumpadisa. Ula one time visited pumpadisa. Chazer abanan to come napti glimai. He saw that the abanan, the chachmei hayeshiva over there were shaking out their clothes and they were dark and they were new. So he says, what's going on over here? The Chachamim are being Machal Shabbos. We just said you're not allowed to do that. But Rabbi Yehuda says to them, go ahead and shake it out right in front of him. Don't worry about what he's saying. You're not being Machal Shabbos. We're not makbid on that during the week. We don't care if our clothes sometimes have dust on them during the week. So therefore, if we're doing it, let's say only Lekavod Shabbos, then we're allowed to. Similarly, Abaya habakoi kamed Rabbi Yosef. Abaya was one time standing as a Talmud in front of Rabbi Yosef. Amale havli kumsoi. Rabbi Yosef asks Abaya to give him his hat. Chaza de ikatala ale. So Abaya went to get the hat, and he noticed there was dew on it. Habakamachasim lemesvile. So he was hesitant about giving it to him. On the one hand, you have to take off the dew. On the other hand, it's Shabbos, and we're saying that you can't do that. And it also, if he is supposed to shake it out, then it would be disrespectful for him to give it to his Rebbe when it still has dew on it. So he wasn't sure what to do. So Rabbi Yosef tells him, don't worry about it. Nefoitz shodi, go ahead and shake it and get the dew off it. And then, like up to in midi, again, I'm not makbid on that during the week to always make sure that when I put on my hat, it doesn't have dew on it. So therefore, if one time you're doing it, then there's not a problem. Actually, well, but you still, you know, you could. I mean, the dew nowadays is the same as the dew then. But, no. Well, you could. I mean, you have wetness on it. I mean, nowadays, you're not usually going to have something that, you know, you leave outside. It's not, you know, here in New York, for example, I don't think you have such heavy dew in the morning. And in places like Bavel and Otis Yisrael or whatever, sometimes you have very heavy dew. But, yeah. Anyway. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah brings up the question over here. So if you have a person who himself is not makbid, but then the person who's bringing him the hat is makbid, who do you go according to? He says maybe that was Abaya's suffolk over here. Abaya would always be particular to shake out the dew from his hat before he puts it on. Rabbi Yosef is not, so now he's not sure. Do I go according to my way of doing things or Rabbi Yosef's? Because Rabbi Yosef owns the hat, and Rabbi Yosef is telling him that it goes, and Rabbi Yosef is telling him according to that it goes according to me. Okay. So he ended up doing that. So he shook it out from the dew, and then you go according to the owner of the hat, according to that way of looking at it. Yeah. Okay. Another din relating to clothing, which Tosfos says the relationship, we're now going to talk about how a person might fold his clothing on Shabbos, not fold his clothing to put it away, but fold it and arrange it on him while he's wearing it. So Tosfos says the connection is going to be like this. We said in the Mishnah that a person's clothes become wet while they're walking. So we said he walks in his wet clothes until he gets to some place where he can take it off. Very often what you would do in that case is at least you don't want it to be hanging all over you still wet. So you would partially fold it up onto your body. So now we're going to talk about that kind of general din about walking around with clothing that's partially folded up onto your body. What's the din about it? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Hayotze b'talus mekopelus munachas layak sefer, if a person goes out on Shabbos with a talus that is folded and placed on his shoulder, b'Shabbos chayev chatas. Now, we don't just mean, in other words, like the kind of folding like we have when we put on the talus over one shoulder in the morning and check the tzitzis. There's no chiddush in that, obviously, that's carrying on Shabbos. What we're talking about, Rashi explains, is he puts the talus over his head, and then instead of having the rest of it hang down over his body like we do, he has all of it folded up and placed onto his shoulders. So he's wearing it like kind of like you have like the, he only wears it almost like a scarf or like a shawl, like you have some of these tiny talisim that you have sometimes in certain places that you see sometimes in certain places or whatever, you know. So he's wearing the talus similar to that. So we're saying chayav chatas. Because that's not a normal way, of wearing it. So therefore, it amounts to carrying it. But not necessarily are they allowed to go out with it to Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. If they're wearing it inside the shul, then fine. But besides which, we're going to talk about later on a different kind of garment. We're going to talk about an Amud Beis, a different kind of garment called a sachnisa, where maybe you have that, which is a little bit different, where one meaning of sachnisa is a garment that to begin with is meant to only cover a person's head and shoulders. So we'll get to that later. But here we're talking about a regular talus, which is meant to cover a substantial part of his body, and he puts it all onto his head and shoulders. Tani nami hochi. So chayav chatas. Tani nami hochi soich riksus hayotze metalisus mikupolos umunachas oksef and mashamas. People who sell clothing, if they go out with the talus folded up and placed only on their shoulders, so again only on their head and shoulders, chayav and chatas, then they're chayav chatas. Velois soich riksus bilvad omru. Actually, that applies not even only to people who sell clothing. Ela kol adam. That applies to anybody. Ela shadarkan shomorchun lotzis kach. The reason we mention it about sellers of clothing is because they often go out that way. But the din would actually apply to everybody else as well. Similarly, if a storekeeper goes out on Shabbos with money tied up into his sadin, which is one of his articles of clothing, so a sadin is like a cape or something. So if he has money tied up in there and he goes out with that on Shabbos, chayev chatas. And again, that applies not just to a storekeeper, it applies to anybody. It's usual for storekeepers to do that, so therefore we have to warn them more, but the same din would apply to other people. Okay. Continues the Mishnah, the Braise rather. What? Well, if he wants to make sure that they don't get dirty, then it'd be mukta machmas chasor and kiss, fine. But let's say we're talking about it's not like that. Let's say, you know, the fact that even during the week he wears them around to show them off to people, obviously, therefore, nobody minds if they were worn a little bit by him because that's the normal way of doing it. You find like that in other places also. We had it earlier in the Masechta, for example, where it talks about people who sell clothes. Are they allowed to wear the shatnez clothes as they're walking around to sell them so that people will see and want to buy them? And the answer is he is, as long as he doesn't have kavana to actually be protected from the heat or from the cold by it. Except that we said that's new, and we said that people who are more careful about mitzvahs and people who are more careful about marasayin or whatever will hold it on a stick or a hanger or something behind them. But we see it was a normal thing in those days that a person who's selling clothes wears them in order to show people what they look like, how they fit, whatever. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Braise, not the Braise actually, it's a memory, it's a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. V'ha ratonin yotzin besudrin shalk sefon. Ratonin are allowed to go out with a sudr that's on their shoulders. So first of all, we're talking not a talus, but a sudr. And second of all, we're talking about ratonin. What are ratonin? So Rashi explains it means people who come from a certain place. A certain place called Raton, where they used to wear their sudr like that. Most people would have their sudr only on their head. A sudr is a head covering, or maybe they would have it covering more of their body. In Raton, they only go out with it on their head and their shoulders, and that's mutter. Tosfos brings a different explanation from the Aruch that Ratonin comes from a word that means runners. So it means people who run for a living, like couriers and whatever, they don't necessarily wear their clothes hanging down as much as everybody else does, because it would get in the way when they're running. So therefore, they keep it on their head and their shoulders. So that they're allowed to do. V'loy ratonin bilvad omru, that doesn't just apply to ratonin. Ela kol adam, it applies to everybody. Ela shadavkin shor ratonin lotzis pekach. Ratonin usually do that. So again, there's a difference between, there's still a difference between a talus, which is meant to cover most of the body, versus a sudr, which is not. So a talus was saying you're not allowed to go out with it only on your head and shoulders, whereas a sudr you would be allowed to. So maybe that answer also answers as far as what you're asking about, as far as those scarf talisim. I mean, those to begin with are only made to go around the head and the shoulders. So maybe then based on this, it would actually be mutter. Right, a talus for them meant a regular garment, which, yeah, because it was four-cornered, they put tzitzis on it, but right, it wasn't, yeah. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. It happened once with Hyrcanus, the son of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. This is the famous Rabbi Eliezer of Shas, so this is his son Hyrcanus. He went out on Shabbos with a sudr on his shoulders, which we just said you're allowed to do because the Ratonin do that. But the difference was, he had one string of the sudr wrapped around his finger. So this way it won't fall off. This way, you know, so this way he would make sure that it wouldn't fall off, that it wouldn't fall off his shoulders, because it's tied to his finger. This way it wouldn't fall off so easily. And if it does, he would know to put it back on immediately. When the matter came to the Chachamim, does he have to do that? Amru, they said, he doesn't even need that. Even if he doesn't have a string of it wrapped around his finger, he's allowed to wear the sudr that way. Okay. Well, other people, Mistama saw him, or maybe he himself asked, do I need to do that? Whatever it is, somebody asked the Chachamim, and the Chacham answered, there's no problem with it. You're allowed to do that even without the string wrapped around the finger, which is the halacha. Okay. Dorash Reb Nachman b'chista m'shmei d'Rav Chista. Halacha af mishay nimak ruch aloy b'etzboisav. So there you go. The halacha is, in fact, that even if there's no string tied around his finger, then it's mutter. Okay. Another question as far as clothing. So he was wearing it like a regular thing. He was wearing it around his head and shoulders, yeah. But he had a string of it wrapped around his finger. And the Chum say, once you have it on your head and your shoulders, and that's good enough. You don't need the string. That was as far as a talus. Again, this is a sudr. It's a different kind of clothing. It's made, yeah. Talus is made to cover more, yeah. So a sudr usually covers the head and maybe a little bit of the shoulders. So yeah. Okay. Or maybe it covers only the shoulders. I mean, usually a sudr in the Gemara means what a person wears on his head. Over here, it may mean like a scarf or something. Over here, it may mean like a scarf or something which a person regularly only wears on their shoulders. Well, a sudr, according to that, would be more like a hat or a turban or something. But that's actually a big question. That's actually a big question. Is it that everybody covered their heads as a matter of course, and only the chacham because only the chachamim wore in addition a sudr like we wear a hat over our yarmulke, or is it that most people did not go with a head covering and the chachamim only went with a sudr as a head covering? That's different understandings of it. Pictures of way back. How far back are we talking? I mean, they don't have pictures from the times of the. Yeah, that's 60, 70, 80. Fine. That doesn't take us back to the times of the Gemara. You know, the only pictures we have from the times of the Gemara are the ones in the Machanaim books, and, you know, all the Chachamim there look the same.
Can we get moving?
Yeah, if your head is uncovered, you can't make a bracha, but was that the case in that time? Not necessarily, but yeah, let's, you know, like Avraham Moshe said, yeah, let's get moving. We've wound a cover over here, yeah. Okay. Onward. Okay. So the Gemara tells, Ula ikla lebeir of Asi Barhini. Ula one time visited the house of Asi Barhini, Bomine, and they asked Ula, Maulasis marzev b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to make a marzev with your clothing on Shabbos? Marzev literally means a gutter. So Rashi explains that it means like this. Sort of like nowadays, you have like with French cuffs at the bottom of a pair of pants or whatever, where the cloth is bent upward. Now nowadays, what you do for cuffs is you sew them in place. In those times, what you would do sometimes is if you fold up the hems of your clothing, Rashi describes you would have strings hanging down from the main part of the clothing to hold that cuff in place. So the question is now, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Are you allowed to make the are you allowed to turn up the cuffs like that and hold them up with those strings on Shabbos? According to Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim, what we mean is that we're talking about that a person takes his talus, takes the two corners of it, instead of like this, we wear a talus with one corner on one shoulder and the other one on the other. What they would do, it to make a marziv, you would take both corners and put it onto one shoulder. So therefore it comes out, the back of it looks like a marziv. The back of it resembles like a gutter because you have a deep cleft in the middle between the two sides of the talus as they're hanging together over his shoulder. Think of how you usually put on a talus. You have the talus hangs behind you, and the two ends of it, one goes over your right shoulder and one goes over your left shoulder. Here, Tosfos describes that you take the two sides of the talus that are on the right side and put them on your left and put them on your left shoulder. So therefore, so like the whole thing is like wrapped around. It's like wrapped around to going from one shoulder to another. So it resembles a marziv. So all you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So Ula informs them that Rabbi Eloi said you're not allowed to. Okay, my marziv, what exactly is this marziv? I'm going to say a kisi bavli yosa, like the pockets they make in bavel. So again, according to Rashi, the hem that you make at the bottom over there resembles a pocket. And according to Tosfos, the folds of the cloth behind you resemble a pocket. So the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yirmiyah have a yosef kamed Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah one time was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rabbi Zera on a weekday. So he took his talus, he took his clothing and folded it a certain way and asked if this were on Shabbos, would this be mutter? Amalei osir, and Rabbi Zera tells him this way that you're showing me now is osir. V'hochimai amalei osir, and this way, what is it? And he says also it's osir. So he's showing different possibilities and Rabbi Zera is telling him that each one is osir. So how do we know what's what? Amar Papa, nekoitai kol abiyodach. So the Papa says you can use the following general rule to determine whether it's mutter or not. Kol adaita d'lechanufi osir. If you're folding your clothes onto you in a way where you want it, you're folding it in a way that it should stay like that long term, then it would be, for example, let's say with these cuffs that Rashi is talking about, let's say you have them, you fold them up and you have them attached to the strings such that when you wear them on other days also it's going to be folded like that and you're still going to have that hem, then it would be osir. Called the least noise strutty, but if you're doing it in order to look nice just temporarily, then it would be mutter. As in fact, we have the example where Rav Shisha would do that, he would make himself look nice in his talus. So he would even on weekdays, Rashi explains, he would do that. He would fold his talus and arrange it on his body in a certain way that it would look nice. So if he's doing that, it's only lefi shah, so therefore you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, as opposed to if you're doing something which is going to be more permanent. So according to Rashi, at any rate, it's more permanent because we're talking about the cuffs with the strings. According to Tosfos, what it would be is that if it's lechanufi, if you're doing it just in order, for example, to be able to walk quickly, then it would be a problem. But if you're doing, because then it's not derech malbush, it's not the normal way of wearing it. As opposed to if you're doing it lehisnois, where you have, for example, Tosfos describes further, let's say you have one side is on his shoulder and the other one is like falling down, like covering part of his arm, and like you often have when you wear a talus where the part that's on your shoulder falls down and covers part of your arm. That's lace noise. That would be mutter. That would be mutter because that's derech malbush. Right, but you still can have, whether you're doing it. So according to Rashi, the difference is whether it's permanent or not. And according to Tosfos, the difference is this way that you're wearing it now, is it derech malbush? Can it be considered a normal way of wearing the talus? Yes. So if that's the thing, if it's nice, then it's allowed. But if it's not derech malbush, as Tosfos says, if it's just, let's say, for example, that you're folding it in a certain way so that you can walk more quickly, then it would be a problem. It just means, in other words, like he didn't make any, according to Rashi, it would just mean like he didn't make any permanent alteration. And he has, let's say, for example, he has these cuffs that have the strings on them, but the strings are easily detachable or whatever. And leave it like that during the week, yeah, and then, yeah. Ki osir of Dimi Omar. So when Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he told the following story. Pama, further about this thing we said earlier, that if you go out with a talus that's folded only onto your shoulders, then you chayev chatas. So Pama has yotzer Rebbe Lasoda. One time Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, went out to a field on Shabbos, which is Karmelis. The two ends of his talus were on his shoulder. So on the right and on the left were up on his shoulders. So Yeshua ben Ziruz, who was the son of the father-in-law of Rameir, meaning his Rameir's brother-in-law, says to Rebbe, didn't Rameir say that this is Chayiv Chatas? This is not Derech Malbush. This is not a normal way of wearing clothing. So you're not allowed to on Shabbos. Amalei, so Rebbe says, really, dikdik Rameir adkan? Rameir is so particular to that extent that it should be Chayiv Chatas even? He is wearing it. It's just completely on his head and shoulders. Reb Meir would say that even that you chayev chatas for that. Okay, Shilshul Rebbe, Tali says Rebbe lowered his talus so that it's not completely on his shoulders, so he's not doing the issue. He also Ravin Omar, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he made some corrections to the story. He said, Lo Yeshua ben Ziruz haba. First of all, it wasn't Yeshua ben Ziruz, Ela Yeshua ben Kusoy haya, Chasne Shor Rabbi Akiva. It was Yeshua ben Kusoy, it was the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva, and Omar Bezulay Chiv Rabbi Akiva Chatas. He said, didn't Rabbi Akiva say this is Chayiv Chatas? How are you wearing your talus this way? Omar Loi, and according to this version also, Rabbi says, Dik Rabbi Akiva ad kan. Really, Rabbi Akiva was so particular and said, you chayev chatas. Shul shol Rabbi Talisa, and he lowered his talus. And ki osir of Shmuel bar Yehuda, bar of Yehuda, Amor of Shmuel bar of Yehuda, came from Eretz Yisrael. He reported a third version of the story, Nishal Itmar. It's not that Rebbe himself was wearing the talus that way. Somebody asked him on Shabbos, or even during the weekdays, whatever, are you allowed to wear it that way on Shabbos? And he was going to say yes, until Yeshua ben Ziruz or Yeshua ben Kusoy told him that you're not allowed to. That Rameyu or Rabbi Akiva said, you're not allowed to. Okay. So according to that third version, Rebbe himself wasn't wearing it. Somebody came to ask him a shaila, are you allowed to wear it that way? Okay. Mishnah says, Haroichetz b'mei ma'ara over mei Tveria. If a person bathes in water in a cave or in the hot springs of Tveria, v'nistapug, and then he dries himself off, afilu b'eser aluntios, even if he uses 10 towels to dry himself off. So each towel doesn't have very much wetness in it. Lo yuvia miyada, he's still not allowed to bring the towels home because we're concerned that he may squeeze them out. So this connects with the previous Mishnah where we talked about his clothes are wet. We're going to see in the Gemara what the halacha is. Hold on. I know what you're thinking. People go to the mikveh and they bring their talisim home. So hold that thought. So we'll get to that point, right? But okay, yeah. Okay. We'll also see in the Gemara why the Mishnah starts off with the words ha-roichetz, which if he bathed, which implies it's not something that he could do l'chatchila. It's something that only b'diavad if he did it. So we'll see about that in the Gemara. But 10 people, if they all go together, are allowed to even dry themselves off with one towel, their face, hands, and feet. Rashi says it doesn't just mean their face, hands, and feet. They're allowed to dry their whole bodies. But once you have a towel is used by that many people, you're not going to want to use it for your whole body. So therefore, you're only going to use it for your face, hands, and feet. But yes, they would be allowed to dry their whole bodies with it. And they're allowed to bring it home because, as the Gemara says, each person is going to remind the other one not to squeeze it out. So once you have more people, then they're going to remind each other. Mavian means that they're allowed to bring it, yeah. Continues the Mishnah. Sochen umamash machine. On Shabbos, you're allowed to smear oil on your skin. You're also allowed to massage your body for pleasure. On the side of it here, it brings a girsa, which you also have in the Mishnah, it's b'vnei me'ayim, the stomach specifically. But the din applies to the rest of the body as well. Aval loy misamlin, but you're not allowed to misamlin, which Rashi explains means to rub very hard, to massage very hard, in particular, because that would make the person sweat, and you're not allowed to do things on Shabbos that are going to make you sweat. The Rambam explains that it means not just massaging very hard, it includes other kinds of physical activities and physical exercises as well that are meant to make a person sweat that you're not allowed to on Shabbos. It's an example of uvdin d'chol. Either it's an example of many of the things we're mentioning over here are either uvdin d'chol, either they're doing things on Shabbos like you do on weekdays and certain things like that, which are similar to malachas or may lead you to malachas or whatever, the chamazur. Or they're also mishum refuah, because they're similar, there are things that heal a person, and we've learned earlier in the Masechta that you're not allowed to do such things on Shabbos. Okay. Veloy misgarden, you're also not allowed on Shabbos to scrape your skin. They would have these scrapers where after they went to the bath and after they'd wash and smear themselves with oil or whatever, or maybe before, whatever, they would use a scraper to scrape off the oil and the dirt and whatever from their skin. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Again, Rashi says because of Uvdin Nechoil. Okay. Ein Yodin Kurdima, you're not allowed to go on Shabbos to Kurdima. Kurdima is the name of a river. Rashi is the name of a river. We're going to learn on Omid Beis. We'll talk about what's the problem with going to that river on Shabbos. We're going to see the Gemara is going to give the answer in two words, and then we're going to have two different explanations from Rashi and the Rambam what exactly the problem is with this river. The Ein Osin Apik Tvizin, on Shabbos you're also not allowed to do something to make yourself or to make somebody else throw up. Apik Tvizin is actually Mefoshim explain. It comes from three words in Aramaic. Apik means take out. Tvi means the cooked, like the partially digested, and zin means food, like mazon. So apik tve zin means take out the extra food. So something like a potion, like you used to have when some of us were kids, for example, you'd have sometimes a syrup of ipecac. I don't know if they make it anymore, but like something that you'd give a kid if you need to make them throw up, like if they swallowed something they shouldn't or whatever, then you'd give them this stuff and it would make them throw up. I don't know if they do it anymore, but whatever. So you're not allowed to do such things on Shabbos, unless, of course, it's pekoch nefesh. We're not talking about that. Primarily, as we'll see in the Gemara, the purpose of Apik Tvizin was usually the goyim used to have a minig in those days that when they were at a big banquet or something, they wanted to be able to eat from all the courses, but there's only so much room a person has in his stomach, so they would eat the earlier courses, then they would take some of the stuff to make themselves throw up, and then they'd go back and eat some more. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Okay. The Ein Ma'atzvin is a katan. Also, you're not allowed to, on Shabbos, readjust the limbs of a child, meaning that a joint got a little bit dislocated or whatever, so you're not allowed to put it back in place on Shabbos. Again, not everything that we're saying in the Mishnah over here is the final halacha as we have it, so we'll talk about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. The Ein Machzir, we learned at the end of the 18th parak that on the day the baby is born, many other things are mutter that usually would be osur. So if the baby's limbs got dislocated in the birth, then yes, you are allowed to readjust them on Shabbos. The Ein Machzir Nes HaShever, and you're not allowed to reset a broken bone. Again, we'll see about that in the Gemara, whether that's the actual halach. Continues the Mishnah. Mishnah Nifrika Yodev Ragle, if a person's arm or leg was dislocated, lo yitrufim b'tzonin, he's not allowed to wash them hard with cold water, which helps get the joint back into place. Avol roichatzu kedarkei, but he can wash off like he would usually do during the week. Ve'im nisrapa, and if that heals it, then good. Again, we're not talking about where there's a danger to the limb, so we're not talking about where it's a major dislocation, where if it's not reset until after Shabbos, then he may never regain the use of it. We're talking about a minor dislocation. Like, for example, sometimes a person has a little, a little TMJ or something, let's say. So, by their jaw, where sometimes the jaw gets a tiny bit dislocated, and, Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Katoni mei ma'ora dumya demei tveria. Now, we're mentioning in the Mishnah the case where a person bathed in water in a cave, which Rashi explains over there. Now, we're not talking about cold water. We're talking about, in other words, a person took warm water or hot water or whatever and put it in a cave before Shabbos in order that it should retain its heat. So now we learned earlier in the Masechta that about the dinim, you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. So nowadays we have hot mikvahs, is different because since there is a heter to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, as we learned back then once the Alter Rebbe developed the concept of how you can make a hot mikvah, then you're allowed to also on Shabbos where you're going there for the purpose of tefillah. But otherwise, bathing in hot water is also on Shabbos midrabanan, because we learned earlier because the bathhouse attendants, for example, would heat up the bathhouses on Shabbos and claim they did it before Shabbos, or they do other malachas d'oraisa or d'rabanan or whatever. So yeah. So here you have, so the Mishnah starts off over here, ha-roichetz, implying if he bathed, meaning that he was also to do it, but he did it anyway, so now what's the din as far as drying himself off and taking the towel home? No, the bathhouses were not mikvahs. Goyim use them as well. A mikveh, remember, has to be in the ground. The bathhouses over there where you have a keli attached to the ground or something like a tub. But the typical mikveh, the typical mikvehs that they used in those days, often, in fact, yeah, they were a pit in the ground. Often they were, in fact, in a cave, like a natural body of water in a cave, yeah. Anyway, the point is that, so Rashi explains, again, that we're talking about over here, that we're talking about a person put hot water in there before Shabbos in order to stay hot. Rashi and Tosfos both explain that way. We're mentioning water in a cave similar to Mei Tveria, implying Ma Mei Tveria Chamin Af Mei Ma'or Chamin. So we're not talking about cold water in a cave. We're talking about hot water in a cave similar to Chamei Tveria, which are also hot, implying Horoichet Di'ebed Ein Lachatchil Aloi, implying only B'di'ebed if a person bathed in them. Then we have the dinim of what he should do with his towel, implying Lachatchil, he shouldn't be bathing in such a thing. Now, Tosfos says, now, that doesn't apply to Chamei Tveria. We did learn earlier you are allowed to bathe in Chamei Tveria on Shabbos. We said at one point the Chachamim wanted to aser it, but that was a gzeira that most of the tzibur couldn't stand, so therefore they were matir it. So you are actually allowed to bathe in Mei Tveria. Although there are some Rishonim who learn, I think the Rif says, that even with Mei Tveria, it's true that if it is like a ma'ara, like if it's roofed over like a cave, such that you sweat in there, then it would be also because you have a different gzera that you're not allowed to go into a sauna or a shvitzbad or whatever on Shabbos. And that would apply even to Chamei Tveria. But anyway, so we're saying over here, the Mishnah is mentioning Mei Ma'ara together with Mei Tveria to imply that we're talking about hot water, and therefore to say that it's only B'di'evet. Niklal, in which case the implication is that we're talking about bathing in there would be also on Shabbos. If you're just rinsing off your whole body, meaning pouring the hot water onto your body, then it sounds like it would be mutter. Because the Ritva explains, the point is, in other words, the Mishnah doesn't have to tell us the din that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos. We learned about that earlier. And if the Mishnah was going to tell us that, it would tell us more openly. It wouldn't tell us by a diuk from the word horoichit. So obviously the Mishnah is trying to tell us a chiddush that you're not allowed to bathe in such water, but you are allowed to pour it over yourself. So now the question is money. So now the question is, which Tana would that be according to? And the answer is Reb Shimon. That would be according to Reb Shimon. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Lo yishtatef adam ben mecham ben mitzon and divir Reb Meir. Reb Meir says you're not allowed to rinse off, to pour over yourself hot or cold water, divir Reb Meir. Reb Shimon mater. Reb Shimon says both of them are mutter. Reb Shimon says, in other words, that the Isser is only to bathe in hot water, which is what people would do on weekdays, but not just to pour hot water over yourself. Reb Yehuda, I'm a mecham and osa, but son and mutter. Reb Yehuda says you're not allowed to hot water, but you are allowed to cold water. So our Mishnah would be according to Reb Shimon. The halacha, though, is like Rabbi Huda, so you're not allowed to pour hot water over yourself on Shabbos either. You are allowed to rinse off, technically, in hot water, in cold water. You are allowed, so technically, al pi technical halacha, you would be allowed to take a cold shower on Shabbos, although the Rishonim write that the minhag has become not to do that either. So in general, you don't take a cold shower, you don't take any kind of shower on Shabbos, even a cold one. A warm shower, that Rabbi Huda is saying, you're also to anyway. Now again, a mikveh, you're allowed to because you're allowed to go on tovel on Shabbos, and therefore even nowadays that we have a hot mikveh, then you're allowed to do that. Okay. But that's why you see when you go to the mikveh on Shabbos that the showers are closed. Yeah. Okay. Okay, the Mishnah had said, we said if a person dried himself off even with 10 towels, then he's not allowed to bring the towels home. And then the Sefer had said if 10 people use one towel. So the Gemara points out, each part of the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush. Reshut abusa kamash malon, the Resha is telling us a chiddush when the one person uses 10 towels. And we're saying, dafilu hani delenefishi buhumaya, even like this, you have 10 towels and each one doesn't have very much water in it. Kiven dechadhu, since it's only one person, osili de schitte, he may come to wring out the towels, which would be also on Shabbos. And therefore, we don't allow him to bring the towels home because he may wring them out. Well, not impossible, but there is some water in them. He might come to, yeah. The safer to Busik Mashmalon, the safer where it mentions 10 people in one towel, is also Chiddush. Afilu Hanid in a fishy, Buhumaya. Even this, in this case, the towels are soaked with water, given to Rabim Ninhu, since there are many people together, Madkari Adodi, each one will remind the other one if any of them tries to wring out the towel. Actually, the Rishonim talk about the question. Why Bechlal, if we're concerned about Schitta in the case of a person toweling himself off, why do we allow him to even towel himself off in the first place? Maybe we should be going around. First of all, there's a couple of things to talk about. First of all, we said before that putting water on cloth is malaban. So how is it that over here you're drying yourself off and you're putting water on the towel? How is that not a malacha malaban? So there's a few answers. One of them is that it doesn't apply if the cloth was already clean. And another one is it doesn't apply if you're doing it in a way of making it dirty. When we talk about malaban is cleaning implies, for example, let's say we talked about before, you have a dirty pillow and you're putting water on it in order to get the dirt off. Or we said before, let's say your clothing has dust or dew or whatever on it and you're shaking it out. Here it's the other way around. The towel was clean and you're making it dirty by drying yourself. And also there's the fact that, yeah, there's not that much water on your body relative to the towel. So that's what we're saying. If, let's say, all of them went to Meit Tveria, or let's say even we said all of them were over. All of them were over, and they went to dip in this cave with the hot water on Shabbos. So nevertheless, we're saying they're allowed to towel themselves off. And one point is, we're showing him say, because if you don't allow them to towel off, then if you don't allow them to towel off, then in effect you're not allowing them to bathe at all. And we said before, it's Xeder Shein Revat Sibur Yechol Lamed, but to not bathe at all on Shabbos, even in the hot springs of Tveria. So the Chum had to allow them to dry themselves off. So then you have the dinim about over here about whether you're allowed to bring out the towel, but therefore whether you're allowed to carry the towel home. Is there a concern that you might bring it out? So again, so far we're saying one person can't, but more than one person could. We're going to see soon in the Gemara that's not the halacha. So he uses one towel and then he uses another one for another part of his body and another one for another. I don't know. Yeah, let's say he's, yeah, I don't know. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Mistapik Adam Ba'aluntis, a person can dry himself off with a towel on Shabbos, or Manicha Ba'chaloin, but then he has to put it in the cubby, meaning in the bathhouse. So again, we're talking about the person bathed on Shabbos, where he wasn't supposed to, but he's not allowed to take the towel. He's not allowed to take the towel home. He has to leave it in one of the cubbies over there where they usually put their clothes, and then take it after Shabbos. Chaloin literally means window, but in Gemara terminology with these kinds of things, chaloin often means something more like a cubby or a locker or something. Veloyim sereno leulayorin, you're not allowed to give the towel to the bathhouse attendants. Mipnei shechashudim al oseh davar, because they're suspect about that kind of thing, about wringing it out. Oh, good morning, Ellie. I didn't even realize you were joining. Good morning. Because they're suspected about that they wring out the towels on Shabbos, and that would be also the bathhouse attendants. We're usually Jews, so therefore you're not allowed to give them the towel. Wring it out, maybe give it, yeah, wring it out to give it to another person, let's say, or whatever, yeah. I guess they weren't as picky like nowadays, where you would only take a fresh towel. Yeah. Rabbi Hanano, by the way, gives a different explanation. Oise dover, the Gemara often uses as a euphemism for tashmish or whatever. So he explains that these bathhouse attendants are people. They're people who are more into znus than the average person. Maybe because they see so many people naked. I don't know, whatever it is. So therefore, they're likely to use it for znus and then to use the towel to wipe up the shichvasera. So therefore, better don't give them the towel. Okay. Reb Shimon says no. Mistapik ba'aluntis achas. A person is allowed to dry himself off on Shabbos with one towel. Umaviyah biyadi l'seich beisay, and then he can bring it home in his hand. Okay. Amalei abayel Reb Yosef Hilchos Amai. Meaning, in other words, he's allowed to carry it home. He's allowed to carry it home like the towel. Well, not no. Well, in other words, where there's an eruv, he's allowed to carry it normally. If there's no eruv, of course, then yeah. Okay. What is the bottom line halacha? Are you allowed to take the towel home on Shabbos or not? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, listen, you have Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi, two Tanoim, and you have Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, two Amoroim, who all say that it's mutter, so therefore it has to be mutter, not like our Mishnah. Reb Shimon Hodamaron, Reb Shimon, we just said, the Braisa says that he says you're allowed to take your towel home on Shabbos. Again, either there's an Erov and you're allowed to carry it the regular way, or there's no Erov and you wrap it around like a scarf or whatever. Rebbe, where do we see Rebbe says such a thing? The Tanya, Omer Rebbe, Kshayunu Lamedin Torah Etzer Reb Shimon B'Tekoya, when we would learn Torah by Reb Shimon in Tekoya, Hayunu Malin Shemen Ba'aluntis Mikhotza L'Gag V'Migag L'Kaipif, we would bring oil, which they used to smear themselves with after they bathed, and a towel, from a chotzer to a roof, and from a roof to a carpet, and keep on going like that, ad shoyinu magin etzom mayin shoyinu rechtin boy, until we reach the spring where we would bathe on Shabbos. Now, a spring is not hot water. It's one of the things you are allowed to bathe in on Shabbos. So therefore, now, the point is, we learned earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to learn in more detail in Erevin, that Reb Shimon holds that all the roofs and all the chatzeres and all the karpefes, which are enclosed areas that are in a city, are all considered one reshus, even if the people who own them did not make Erevin. So if you have a keli that started out in one of those places, that started out on Shabbos in one of those places, you're allowed to move it from one or another from one to another of those places, as long as you're not going through the houses. So if you have a keli, for example, in this case, let's say the bottle of oil started out in somebody's chotzer before Shabbos, so you're allowed to bring it up to the roof, the next door neighbor's roof, even though they didn't make an Eruv, and then from that roof to a karpif, and then keep on going like that between the roofs and the chatzeres and the karpifes until you reach the spring, and so they brought the oil and a towel. Now, the point is, what do they do with the towel when they're finished? Obviously, they didn't leave it over there. A spring is a public area, so they're not going to just leave it there. Somebody might take it. So obviously, they're bringing it back. And therefore, that shows that you're allowed to carry, that shows that Rebbe holds that you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. Now, what does that mean, though? We're saying, show you new Lamedim Torah. When we were learning Torah, that means the Pashtus, it means there were many Talmidim. So what do you mean that so how does that prove anything that Rebbe says one person is allowed to? So Tosfos answer is because, in general, a Talmud shouldn't bathe together with his Rebbe anyway. It's not bekavadik to the Rebbe. But the Rebbe is allowed, but if the Rebbe needs the Talmud, then it's allowed. The pashtus, it doesn't need more than one Talmud to attend to him. So therefore, it means that only one Talmud is there. And if he's carrying back the towel, there's no reason to assume that Reb Shimon would be carrying it together with him, because the Talmud is going to carry the towel for the Rebbe. And Reb Shimon himself, we just said, says that you're allowed to carry it yourself. So therefore, the Talmud would be carrying it himself. So when Rebbe is saying, "Sho yinu lemedim," it means each of us, when it was our turn to attend Reb Shimon, then we would do that. We would carry the towel back and forth. So therefore, by themselves, without that Reb Shimon is carrying one end and the Talmud is carrying the other end, especially because Reb Shimon himself holds that you're allowed to carry it yourself. So therefore we see that Rebbe holds it's allowed. We're not worried about, again, we're not worried even the one person is going to squeeze it, right? That's fine. Everybody agrees to that. But we're saying Reb Shimon and Rebbe and Shmuel and Reb Yechon are saying, even by yourself, we're not worried that you're going to squeeze it out. Because maybe because, like you said, there's not that much water in it that you're going to get. Okay. Right. Okay. Well, you also have to realize, you know, that our towels we have nowadays are much more absorbent, they're much thicker and more absorbent than the ones they had in those days. Yeah. Right, that's what Tosfos was saying. Hayinu means each of us, when it was our turn to attend Reb Shimon, that if it came out on Shabbos, then we would do that. Yeah. Okay. Shmuel, where do we see Shmuel talks about this? Shmuel says explicitly, a person is allowed to dry himself off with a towel and bring it home to his house on Shabbos. Again, either if there's an Eruv, then carry it normally, and if there's no Eruv, then wear it as a scarf or something. Rabbi Yechanan, where we see Rabbi Yechanan says, the Amr of Chia Ba'aba Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Halacha Mestapit Adam Ba'alundus, Omvia Biyadal Sech Beise, Rabbi Yechanan also says the same thing. The problem with that last one is, Umi Amr Rabbi Yechanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yechanan really say such a thing? Did Rabbi Yechanan really say that you're allowed to take the towel home on Shabbos? Rabbi Yechanan Halacha Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yechanan always says that the Halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. And we learned in our Mishnah, we said that a person is not allowed to take his towel home on Shabbos. So how can Rabbi Yechanan be going against that and saying that you are allowed to? The answer is, Hahu kiben chachinai masnila. Rabbi Yechanan's version of the Mishnah had at the end of it divrei ben chachinai. So in that case, it's not a stam Mishnah; it's only according to one Tana. So Rabbi Yechanan is able to say the halacha is not like it. Rabbi Yechanan says the halacha is like a stam Mishnah, and we have it as a stam Mishnah in front of us, but Rabbi Yechanan's version of the Mishnah had that it's only Divrei Ben Chachinai. Okay. So that, again, that the point is that so Rabbi Yechanan would say that only Ben Chachinai holds you're not allowed to. B'pashtus, that's Rabbi Chanina Ben Chachinai from Pirkei Avos. And then you have, meanwhile, Rebbe and Reb Shimon are saying it's allowed. Okay. Amr Rabbi Chiba Abba Amr Rabbi Yechanan. Ha'ul Yorin bathhouse attendants, mevien balore noshim levei boni. They're allowed to bring women's towels to the bathhouse. Again, we're talking about they're wearing it. Now, the difference is, in other words, Rashi explains that you have, apparently there were different kind of towels in those days that women used than men. Maybe the difference is men use smaller towels, whereas women you would use larger ones that you could actually wear. Whatever it is, they're allowed to wear it on Shabbos to the bathhouse. Ovovachi is kasa ben roshim rabban, as long as he covers his head and most of his body with it, because then he's wearing it derech malbush. So that's the thing. That's what we're talking about. For example, wearing a towel as a scarf or something. So based on this, wearing it as a scarf is maybe not so. I don't know what the halachas are in that. So when you see people coming home on Shabbos from shul with their talus as a scarf, I don't know if that's that from mikveh. I don't know. Right. I mean, sometimes you see people wearing it wrapped around their waist, which is more of a heter because of belt, you're allowed to wear it. But as a scarf, I don't know, based on what we're saying over here, it sounds like you're only allowed to if it's covering Rosh HaVerubah. So I don't know. Okay. Another din, sachnisa. What about wearing a sachnisa? Rashi explains a sachnisa is a large sudder. So we learned on Amud Aleph about a sudder, which is something that a person usually covers his head with. Here it also hangs down his back, but he has his head wrapped in it and it hangs down his back. So you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos, but sorech lekasha beiz rasher lamata, you have to tie the two ends together further down so it doesn't fall off his head, Rashi explains. Because in other words, apparently the idea is it was made in such a way where his head is wrapped in it and the ends of it are hanging down, but if you don't tie the ends together, it may fall off. The ends apparently are hanging down. So you tie the ends down by his body, by his back, and that helps it. That helps prevent it from falling off. So he's tying it, I guess, around his body, according to that. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos gives a different explanation, that sachnisa is a very lightweight garment, and the reason why you have to tie the ends of it is so it doesn't blow off in the wind. And then the Rambam has another explanation of sachnisa is it's a small kind of garment. It doesn't cover Rosh HaVerubah, so it only covers his head and a little bit of his body, so therefore he has to tie the two ends together in order for it to be considered derech malbush, because otherwise it would be like Amud Aleph, carrying. So you have to tie the two ends at the bottom. Where at the bottom? Amr of Chiba Abba, Amr Bechnan, Lamata Miksifayim. What we mean is below his shoulders. So he ties it below his shoulders again, so it doesn't fall off, or so it's considered derech malbush. Okay. Amalahu Rava of Nemechosa. Rava says to the people of Mechosa, where he was the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva, Ki ma'abritu money levnei chela. If on Shabbos you have to carry the clothes of the soldiers, meaning now you had in those times, you have soldiers are quartered in a city. So we have the Third Amendment that says that not in peacetime, soldiers are not allowed to be quartered in people's houses. But in those times they didn't have that. So you'd often have that the army when an army unit comes to town, the people would have to put up the soldiers in their houses, and they would have to do all kinds of different things for them. They'd have to prepare the food for them. They'd have to carry their clothes, they'd have to do different things for them. So how do you do it on Shabbos? So Rava tells them, if you're doing that on Shabbos, Sharbivul Hulamata Miksifayim, make sure they hang down below, don't just have it on your shoulders, because that would be carrying. Like we said before, make sure it's hanging down below your shoulders, and that way you're wearing it on Shabbos rather than carrying.
Is the Jewish army or no difference? Is it a Jewish army where it makes no difference?
No, it doesn't make a difference. This was in Mechosa, in Bavel. The Pashas were talking about Goyish army, but it doesn't really matter, yeah. We said in the Mishnah, Sochanu Mamash Mashin, we said you're allowed to smear oil on your body and massage your body. So Tananabon, Sochanu Mamash Mashin, Mivnei Me'ayim B'Shabbos, you're allowed to smear oil and massage your stomach on Shabbos. Uvolvad, Shalo Yasek, Kedeuch Shu Oysa B'Choyol, as long as you don't do it like you do it on weekdays. So Heichi Ovid, how do you do it on Shabbos to do differently than weekdays? Rav Chama Brachanina Oma Soch V'Achakach B'Mashmish, what you do is first you rub the oil, then you massage, because on the weekdays, usually you would do the other way around. First you'd massage, then you pour on the oil. So therefore, on Shabbos, you do the other way around. The massage would come first, and then the oil. So Rav Chama Bar Chanina is saying, do the other way around on Shabbos. First the massaging, then the oil. or rather first the oil rather than the massaging, which would be the opposite of weekdays. Rabbi Yechanan, almost socha mamash, b'shavas achas. Rabbi Yechanan says that's not enough of a shinui. You have to rub, you have to pour on the oil and massage at the same time. That's the only way you could do it on Shabbos. Because and that way you're doing it with a shinui, that way it's not uvdin nechoil. Okay. We said, ava loy mis amlin. We said, but you're not allowed to massage hard or do other kinds of exercise. So, omer of chiba ava omer Yechanan. Also, lamed b'kalkeisa shel d'yomsis. You're not allowed on Shabbos to stand on the ground of d'yomsis, which is, Rashi explains, is a certain river that has salty water in it. The problem is, when you stand on the ground over there, it heats you up. It heats your body up. And then it's healing, and now it's an example of doing refuah on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. The whole time during the year when diomsis is effective like that, when it heats up the body and has healing properties, is 21 days, is a period of 21 days during the year. Shavuos is part of that period. Now, what do we mean by that? What do we mean? Do we mean the 21 days begin with Shavuos and run for another 20 days after it? Or do we mean the 21 days begin before Shavuos and the last day of that period is Shavuos? What is that time when Diyomsis is good for you? Or extra good for you, really? Toshma, Da'amar Shmuel, Kulo Shakyoni, Midivcha V'Adatzar Tamalu. Shmuel says that all kinds of medicines, that all kinds of drinks that a person takes for medicinal purposes, the best time for them is, they're most effective from Divcha, meaning from Pesach, when we bring the Korban Pesach, until Atzeres. So we see, therefore, if we're saying that Diyomsis is good for you over a 21-day period, and Shavuos is part of that 21-day period, it must mean the last 21 days of Sefiras Omer, which is between Pesach and Shavuos. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Because maybe the difference is, when it comes to other kinds of medicinal drinks, you want to take them at a time when it's still fairly cool. Between Pesach and Shavuos, in Eretz Yisrael, it's the springtime. It's not really the heat of the summer yet. So maybe that's why that's the best time for it. But Aval Hachamishum Hevlahu, here the reason why Diyomsis is so effective is because of the heat that comes from the riverbed. So therefore, maybe Kibin Dechamim Alma Tvei Mali. Maybe the hotter it is out, the better it is for you. So you can't really tell still whether it's better for you, before or after Shavuos. Okay, Lamaisa, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan had said as a blanket statement, you're not allowed to stand on the ground of Diyomsis. And he didn't specify only during the 21 days. So therefore, the Mefarshim explained, the implication is it is good for you all year round, but during those 21 days, it's extra good for you. So it doesn't matter, really. As a matter of halacha, it doesn't really matter. Anytime, you wouldn't be allowed to because it's making you sweat and you're not allowed to do that and it's healing you and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So therefore, the question of what 21 days it is not really relevant to halacha. Okay. Well, we'll stop here and we'll continue tomorrow with a short piece of Agadta about this water of Diyomsis, and then we'll continue on from there about we'll finish the Perek and then begin the next one tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. So tomorrow 5:30 on Shabbos as usual, Be'ez Hashem.